A good Nevi Shabbos. This week is Parashas Lech Lecha, and the title of today's shiur is smashing idols and breaking personal limitations. So we're talking about here overcoming, and today we're going to talk about overcoming legacies from our past, emotional legacies, habits, patterns of thinking, patterns of feeling. And believe it or not, Avram Avinu is heroic in this nature. The Gemara Nedarim says on Daf Lamed Beis, Amar Rabbi Ami Bar Abba, Ben Shal Shonim Hikir Avram is Baro. When Avram was only 3 years old, he recognized who his creator was. So there is there's an opinion that Avram was some kind of prodigy, and he was able to already understand the truth, the essential truth of the world around him at that age. There are other midrashim that talk about Avram being much older, and the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, explains in great detail what Avraham's personal journey was like, and the words are quite powerful. Let's take a look and see what he says. He says, "Kiva shenigmal esan zeh," as this very powerful, great person began to wean himself, I'm not sure if he means it literally or figuratively, but as he began to grow separate from his parents, his filoshoite bedaito, he began to his thoughts began to flit back and forth. V'hu katan, even as he was young, v'hiskel lachshav biyom v'loila, and he began to think day and night. He was very troubled about the world about him. V'yotamia, and he wondered, "Heich efsher she galgal azen noeg tamid? How could this globe constantly turn around?" Or perhaps because in the Rambam's time, they believed that there were different spheres. We're not talking here about right now the Kabbalistic spheres. We're talking about astronomical spheres. They believed that the orbits of the zodiac and then of different stars and figures in the sky were stuck on top of a clear dome, and they would rotate. And actually, mathematically, the model is completely valid. It just so happens that we know that there's gravity and another force that's keeping the patterns of the orbit. But the ancients believed that basically the different heavenly bodies were stuck attached to clear spheres, and the different orbits they calculated had to do with different orbits that were nested one within another. So the sun was one sphere, and the moon was another, and the zodiacs were another. Anyway, so I'm not sure exactly what he means, whether he means the globe and they knew the world was round, or he meant the whole entire, you know, solar system, as it were. Whatever the case may be, Avram was, even as a young child, the Rambam is saying, he began to be troubled and wondering how this all works. Noik tamid, how does it constantly operate? V'lo yelo manik, and it has no apparent leader. Umi esavivoso, and who's turning all these spheres around? Ki efsher shi esaviv his atzmo, it doesn't make sense that it would turn itself, right? You know, even a top, even a dreidel, has to be spun by somebody. V'lo hoyelo malamid, the Rambam had no teacher and nobody to tell him this. Ela mushka be'ur kazdim. He was entrenched in ur kazdim, bein ovdei kachavim hatipshim, amongst the foolish idolatrous people. The aviv, the imo, the cholam ovdei kachavim, his mother and his father and the whole nation all served idols. And the Hu Ovid Imahim. Very powerful. The Rambam didn't have to say that. The Rambam says, and as a child, Avraham served the adulterers with him. Where's the marker for this, that the Rambam, that Avraham also served? Parenthetically, could be he learns it from the what it says in Haggadah, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avaseinu, that originally our fathers were idol worshippers. If you learn literally fathers as in Avos, then you have to at least find one who was an Ovdei Avodah Zarah. I don't know, but the Rambam is making a supposition at the very least, and maybe there's a marker for it. He's making a supposition that as a child, Avram was involved in all this. And yet at the same time, Libo Meshotet, his heart was flitting about Umevin Asha Hisig Derech HaEmes. And he tried to understand until he was able to achieve the true path, the Haven Kavat Tzedek. He understood the narrow, the straight line from his own proper intellect and understanding. That's also another piece. It's, I think, in general, the Rambam held that one could achieve faith and understanding of the Torah through intellectual reason and prowess. So it's not surprising that he believed that this was Avram's path. V'yoda sh'yesham aloka echad, and so the Avraham came to the conclusion that there was only one God, v'managa galgal, and he was the one that operated all the orbits, v'bor hakol, he created everything, v'im b'chol nimsa aloka chutz mimenu, and there was no one else except for him. And ben arbaim shana hikar Avraham is baro, the Rambam ends off with when Avram was 40 years old, he recognized his creator. The two midrashim, according to the Rambam, are probably not contradictory to each other, because it's saying that at three, he began a process that he concluded when he was 40. He was uneasy even as a young child. He was insightful and prodigious. He was uneasy with the whole thing. He still was following his family's practices, but he reached a point where he started to question it, and the questioning led to more questions, and he had a great intellect and a great ability to face the truth, and he drew the inescapable conclusion that there has to be a creator, and that it only makes sense for there to be one creator, because there are actually important philosophical reasons for that, which is not today's shir, but I'll just say very briefly, because if you presuppose there's a creator, then you have to presuppose that this creator is an infinitely powerful, infinite being, because otherwise it makes no sense, because otherwise you have to ask yourself, who created the creator? But if you make the supposition that the creator is an infinite being that always was, however that is, but that's what it is, then everything else flows logically from there, and you can't have two infinite beings. That's impossible. And it's like I said, it's beyond today's shir, but if you reflect upon it, you realize you cannot have two infinite beings, because if they're infinite, they occupy everything. But anyway, leaving that alone, that was Avram's journey, according to the Rambam. And he goes, the Mefarshim go on to explain that, right, Rashi understands Me'artzecha. The Pasuk says, leave Me'artzecha. Rashi raises a question, Halo kvar yotzim isham imaviv ubad charan. They already left Or Kazdim with his father. So what does it mean, Me'artzecha? So Rashi says, no, the point was to distance himself from his father's home because of all the distortion and immorality of his home, of his family of origin. The Or HaChaim goes on even further. He says that Acher Shomer Me'artzecha If you leave your place of birth, obviously you're leaving your land. But he says it, the Pasuk orders it in terms of the greatest pain that starts with Artzcha, Moladcha, and then Beis Avicha, because it's the hardest to leave one's family, right? And in order for Avraham to really develop in the way that he was going, and in the path that he was going, he had to distance himself from his spiritually dysfunctional family. We don't know whether they were emotionally dysfunctional, although, you know, certainly according to the Medrash, the fact that his father snitched on him and sent him to Nimrod, you know, to the Nimrod school of wayward boys to reform him, and their reformatory methods of throwing people into a fiery furnace, certainly, you know, doesn't exactly speak to the most wholesome emotional environment. But then again, you know, times were different in those days. So how, you know, parental love was expressed probably was different as well. But anyway, certainly it was a spiritual dysfunctional family. Now the Klei Yager says something that's very, very powerful and humanistic. And he says that, what does it mean, lech lecha? And of course, the Mefarshim comment on lech lecha, go for yourself. But the Klei Yager says, lech lecha means leave from yourself. Aside from having to leave his country, his birthplace, and his family of origin, Klei Yager says, Adam Karov Eitel Atzmusa B'Yoser Min Kol Minei Krovim. A person is close to himself more than all other relatives. Al Kenemer Lech Lecha. He had to leave himself. What does that mean, that he had to leave himself? It means, my friends, that he had to transcend the legacies of his past. You know, Avram's a legendary figure, so we don't really think about what those struggles might really have been like. But the fact of the matter is that, as the Rambam says, Avram grew up in an idolatrous home, and not only that, he participated in the idolatrous rituals, according to the Rambam. So when Avraham had to leave, he had to leave everything, and he had to even leave himself. He had to become a different person. So how does that connect to our lives? Well, I think that many people are challenged by their emotional legacy. In particular, people that suffer from addictions oftentimes have a traumatic and difficult emotional legacy. It's not uncommon for there to be different kinds of abuse in their background. And it's furthermore, according to the research, sexual addictions oftentimes run families, so that not only could there be, you know, some kind of legacy of emotional abuse or other problematic behaviors, but there's also a legacy of the actual problem, the legacy of the addiction that somehow or another is communicated and passed on. It's not uncommon for today, unfortunately, for a child's first experience with pornography to be coming across his father's inappropriate websites that somehow or another pop up on the computer. So an addict has to leave behind and somehow or another create an exodus, not just from his, you know, from his personal problems, whatever they may be, and find a way to emerge, but he has to really overcome a very difficult legacy, a pattern of dysfunction, a pattern of emotional abuse, a pattern of terrible and painful feelings. And what was also, from a psychological point of view, and today this year is very psychological, from a psychological point of view, a lot of times sexuality and sexual behavior serves as a subtle form of rebellion and identity building within the context of a very painful and abusive childhood. Because what happens is, see, if somebody is in a lot of pain, not feeling loved, and in other ways alienated, when he discovers the power of his own sexuality, whenever, at whatever age that may be, and the powerful feelings that come with that, it is a tremendous relief. It's a relief from anxiety. It's a coping mechanism. It becomes a way to own something that belongs only to you, that no one else could take away from you. So they can beat you up, they could scream at you, they could yell at you, but somebody's masturbation or sexual rituals that they engage in as a child, that really belongs exclusively to them, and that it's, you know, quite reliable and dependable in terms of in delivering what it promises. So oftentimes people that have addictive or compulsive behaviors, they came to those behaviors because they soothed a very big void and pain and difficulty in their childhood. And that part of the challenge of remaining sober continuously is to overcome the legacy of those very painful experiences and very painful patterns of thinking, and find a way to transcend those patterns and develop into a new person. And that's what, you know, again, of course, I'm not presuming that Avraham had any emotional dysfunction. We can't know that. But what's clear is that spiritually there was a lot of dysfunction. It's also clear that, and generally, idolatry is highly immoral. So the background was definitely not wholesome. And he had to leave all these people. He had to defy his own father. He had to face everybody down. And according to the Kli Yakar, he had to even leave himself, because what does the Kli Yakar mean? He had to leave himself. He had to make himself into a new person. He had to overcome whatever difficulties and pains and patterns and ways of thinking. He himself worshipped idols once upon a time, and he had to be able to change and become that different person. And that is, that's the challenge that many people who've had very difficult backgrounds and difficult childhoods that affect their functioning today have to be able to do. They have to find a way they don't have to necessarily distance themselves from their family if there are redeeming qualities and factors to their relationship with their family. Sometimes, you know, people change also. Even according to the Medrash, eventually, Terach did tshuva or whatever. There are such discussions. But at least emotionally, in some way, there has to be a creation of independence and an ability to function separate from all the pain, separate from all the of all the difficulties and bad patterns, and to create something new and even build it for yourself. So, like according to the Rambam, Avraham had no mentors, right? One could say he had shame, and he learned from shame, but that's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam says he had no teacher, he had no guide, at least when he was younger. Maybe eventually he sought out shame because, like minds, you know, good minds think alike, and they both were monotheists. But so maybe he sought him out later and enjoyed that relationship. But at least in his childhood, he had nobody. He had to do it all himself, and yet, you know, somehow he did it. And other people who've had terrible experiences also have that ability to make different choices and rebuild themselves, even though it's very hard. One of my favorite professors back in social work school, his name was Dr. Norman Tokayer, one of my favorite professors, he used to tell the class, you know, just because your mother hated you doesn't mean you had to believe her. So obviously he wasn't saying everybody's mother hated him, but he was making a point that we also make choices. So even when we have very difficult and painful experiences, we also make choices what we want to take with us from those experiences. And so according to his professor, he was saying, you know, your mother might have given you really bad experiences and made you feel like you should hate yourself, but you still have to decide to hate yourself. You have to still buy it. And if you don't buy it, or you could reconsider whether or not you should continue believing that. So that's my thought for today. I'm going to shut off the recording, and then if people have any comments or thoughts, we can hear them.